Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're going to talk about what we need to be teaching our children about money. But first, I want to go over some of the results from a recent CNN Money survey. And they surveyed the general population about how they're feeling, what they're going to change in regard to their financial habits, and how long they think it will last, and what do they need to teach their children. And the results are really fascinating. And I'm wondering, do you agree with the results of this CNN Money survey? On how you're feeling, 55% worry that a member of their household is going to get a compensation reduction in 2009. 54% feel like they're worse off financially than they were a year ago. And 30% worry that they may lose their home. That's a staggering amount of people. What are the things that were changing? 89% said they will change how they manage money. 65% intend to eat at home more often. 61% will look for deals and discounts before buying. 58% are going to cut back on luxury purchases. 63% plan to save more money than ever. 63% also said they will no longer carry a credit card balance. And 63% think it's less important to buy the newest, latest, greatest products. Now, how long will it last? 94% of the people surveyed said this crisis will have a long-term effect on how they manage money. 88% intend to be more frugal. 81% will play it much safer with their investments. 74% will no longer trust advice from Wall Street. And 54% said they will spend less money on their children. So that brought up a whole nother issue. What about the kids? What are you going to teach your children? Listen to this. 78% said they will teach their children to be more frugal and cost conscious. 73% said they will teach their children to take lower investment risk than they did. 73% said they will teach their children to distrust Wall Street. And 68% said they will teach their children to be less materialistic. I'm just wondering about the other 32%. Are they going to remain committed to materialism, or are they committed to becoming more materialistic? Well, as Christians, we know there is so much more to teach our children than simply to be less materialistic or more frugal and cost conscious. There's a great deal of financial wisdom that God wants them to know. And today we're going to talk about key financial lessons that we need to teach our children. And we're going to cover those in depth on this edition of Money Life. You're listening to a Money Life rebroadcast. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we'll be right back.
Of struggling to pay your bills every month? Not sure where your money's going? Are you ready to get out of debt? Well, the way out isn't always to make more money. Often it's learning to manage what God has already given you. And Crown Financial Ministries has something that'll help you do that. Crown Envelopes is one of the most advanced online money management systems ever. It will help you easily create a home budget online in a secure environment and connect it to your bank and credit card accounts. Then, Crown Envelopes will automatically track your spending, update your budget, and tell you how much you have left to spend in any budget category. You'll have access to your financial information 24/7 from home, work, even your cell phone, so you can always know where you stand financially and make informed decisions. Take control of your finances today and sign up for Crown Envelopes at crown.org. With Crown Envelopes, you can become debt-free. Again, Crown Envelopes is available at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. I just finished presenting to you some of the results of the recent CNN Money Survey about how people are feeling, what they intend to change in their financial behavior, and how long it's going to last. If you want to log in and let me know what your changes are going to be, I'd love to hear from you. Just send me an email to chuckbentley@crown.org. Well, I see many challenges when dealing with children and money. In fact, so often families actually get into trouble more with the decisions they make regarding their children than they do themselves. I'll give you an example. Many people say that they bought a bigger home in a nicer neighborhood because of their children. They wanted their children to be in a better school or a safer neighborhood or a place where they had more friends, and so they leveraged up on behalf of the children. And what they didn't realize is that the financial bondage and stress that was going to create would be terrible for the children, even though they may be in good schools or in a good neighborhood or a safer part of town. And so often, children drive our financial decisions. If you don't believe that, just study the marketing campaign of McDonald's. They got very large selling to the children, knowing that most parents would say yes to drive through the window to get a Happy Meal. Now, what should we teach our children about money from God's perspective? Well, here's the first lesson, that God is the owner of all things and that they are a steward. Not just you as the parent, but your children are stewards as well. Here's Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Everything, all of us, your children belong to God. And therefore, they are stewards, accountable to the Lord to be His faithful stewards. Now, you and I are also stewards of our children. We're not owners of our children. We simply steward our children. And we have a responsibility to teach them God's truth. So through that lens, you can make wise financial decisions. For instance, about the prom. Does it make any sense to you that on prom night, the children should have the most expensive dress they've ever had in their life, the most expensive flowers they've ever worn in their life, and be chauffeur-driven to and from some event for this eight-hour period of their life when you go way, way overboard simply for a high school prom? I don't really understand the good stewardship behind that decision. But I see many Christian families driven by spending money on their children as poor stewards in the name of providing a good memory. What about the car they drive? Do they have to have a nicer car than their parents? Do they need a mobile phone? Do they need updated clothes at all times just so that they can fit in with culture? Do they need the latest and greatest form of entertainment or all the gadgets that everybody else has? Do they need to go to the finest school in town? Do they need to work, even though other children may not be working? You see, we have to make decisions in regard to what's best for our children, and we are stewards to teach them God's truth, and they have to be taught to be good stewards. And so it's a framework to make financial decisions regarding your children, because you want them to be good stewards. You want them to understand the framework in which you're making those decisions. So if you go back through the list, you can say to your child, "You know, honey, I'm trying to make decisions on being a faithful steward to God, and He wants us to use our resources wisely and to use them for His glory, not to ever be wasteful or extravagant or indulgent, not to love money. So we're going to determine a way that you can have a great memory for your prom, or that you can have access to the communication that you need with the family, all the things that you need, but we're going to do it in a way that's honoring with the resources that we have, because we don't have unlimited resources. God does, and God provides, but we have to be faithful with how much He's entrusted to us. You need to explain that lesson to your children. Here's the second lesson that Christian families need to teach their children. Who is God, and why is He important in the life of your children? Now, that may seem so obvious to most of you, and you think, yeah, but what's happening is we assume that somebody else is going to take that responsibility. And so in our own homes, oftentimes, children don't see why God is important in the lives of their parents, and they don't see their parents living out their faith. Now, let me give you this principle. In a Christian home, the children will determine who God really is, not by what you say, nor by whom you claim to worship, but they will determine who God is and your values and your priorities by who you serve. Okay? So they're looking on the outside. They can't see inside. And so they will follow the behaviors that you set in your home. They will follow in line with the behaviors that you actually use. Let me give you a biblical reference for that principle. It comes from 2 Kings chapter 17. When the Lord chastised the Israelites for their duplicity, for their hypocrisy, He said in verse 33, they worshiped the Lord. In other words, the words that came out of their mouth were worshipful. They did all the ceremonies. They did all the right things. But they also served their own gods. Now, Right there, the Lord made a dichotomy between what you worship and what you serve. He said you can worship the Lord and serve your own God. And I think that ties into the New Testament when the Lord said you cannot serve God and money. He didn't say you couldn't worship it, because no Christian would say that we worship money. But we do attempt to serve it. And he said you will love one and hate the other. You will be conflicted according to who you choose to serve. But the Lord said in 2 Kings 17, they served their own gods in accordance with the customs of the nations from which they had been brought. In other words, they served a cultural god. And he goes on to say in verse 40, they would not listen, but they persisted in their former practices. Even while these people were worshiping the Lord, they were serving their idols. Now here's the principle. To this day, their children and grandchildren continue to do as their fathers did, not as their fathers said. Do you see the principle there? Do you serve money? Then your children are going to serve money. If your behavior is that your life orbits around making money, that your life orbits around hoarding money, or your life orbits around being frugal and stingy and selfish and there is no generosity and there's no joy, that's what your children are going to be like. And so it's important for you to teach them who God is and why He's important in their life, and for you to demonstrate that you worship God and you serve God. And the way you handle money will be the lead indicator that your children will follow suit. Well, there's so much more that God wants us to teach our children about money. That's what we're talking about today, children and money. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we'll be right back.
Are you ready to begin your journey to financial freedom? Let Crown co-founder Howard Dayton be your personal tour guide using the brand new Your Money Map video guide. It's based on the popular Crown Money Map, which is the practical, biblically based resource putting over 300,000 people on their journey. This new video guide was created to give you step-by-step guidance and encouragement. The 6-part video guide is perfect for individual or group study, and no facilitator training is required. Simply watch it while following along with Howard's book, Your Money Map, and you're ready to start. Take the next step towards true financial freedom by going online to crown.org or calling 1-800-722-1976 for the Your Money Map video guide. Again, that's 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about teaching our children God's lessons about managing money and how we need to teach them who God is and why He's relevant in their life and why we not only worship Him, but we serve Him by the financial decisions that we make. And one of those lessons, one of those key lessons that we must teach our children is to learn to be content with the family resources. And the way they're going to learn that lesson is from the contentment that you exhibit. And so I ask you, are you content? Do you have joy with what God's given you? Do you praise Him for what He's given you? When your children hear you pray, do they hear an attitude of gratefulness? Do you go through a specific list? Do you say, thank you, God, that I have a job? Thank you that I have a car to drive. Thank you that I have a place to live. Thank you, God, for the daily provision of this food. When they hear contentment, they learn that God is your provider. And by your gratitude, they start to feel peace. They start to feel joy and happiness. They don't hear you longing for more. And your attitude will tell your children what's really, really important to you. Now, my grandfathers on both sides of my family loved God. Neither one of them had a lot of money, but they were fully devoted followers of Christ. They weren't materialistic. They weren't covetous. They weren't greedy. They both were living for their eternal home. And I don't ever remember being around them for any family celebration when they expressed that they weren't happy with what they had in life. And they didn't have much. In fact, one of my grandfathers had a little saying that imprinted me for life. anytime we would leave his home, my grandfather would say, "See you later." And he would never let any of us say goodbye. And the reason he said that is because he wanted to teach us, as followers of Christ, we never had to say goodbye. We would always see each other later. He said that to me every single time he saw me. And it left an impression in my mind that what was on his mind was not the temporalness of this world. He was thinking beyond the next Thanksgiving celebration or the next family vacation when he might gather at our home. He was thinking when we would see him for eternity, and he was discipling his grandkids every single time he would say, "See you later." And with a twinkle in his eye, I could tell he was a very contented man. Well, here's another lesson that God wants us to teach our children. Children must be taught to work. You know, the Proverbs say that all hard work leads to profit. There's nothing unprofitable about working hard. And in today's culture, we have to look for every opportunity to teach our children to work and to work with excellence. And the greatest lesson we may be able to teach them, to equip them for future success, is to be a hard worker. Now, I've been asked at a father-son retreat one weekend, what's the difference between teaching your children to be a hard worker and teaching them a great work ethic? Well, there's a lot of young people who have a great work ethic as long as it's something they like to do. For instance, I know young girls who are into cheerleading, and they have a great work ethic when it comes to cheerleading. Or young guys who want to go to the gym and lift weights, and they have a great work ethic. They'll spend hours doing that, and they do it with excellence. But when it comes to things that require other forms of discipline, they don't want to work. For instance, some of these very same kids don't want to study. Some of them can't imagine having a job and learning to get along with a boss that they don't like, or learning to be bored on a job doing a routine process over and over and over again just so they'll have some spending money. Or maybe they don't want to work out in the elements. I grew up with jobs that I had to work outdoors. Those were the only part-time jobs or summer jobs that I could get. And the discipline of getting up early and showing up on time, punching the clock, doing a routine with excellence, shaped my entire life. I had my first job outside the home when I was 13 years old. I was literally on the payroll of another company when I was only 13 years old. Now, I realize that opportunities like that don't exist today, and that it's much more difficult. But we have to create ways that we can teach our children to be productive workers, whether they're boys or girls. I remember spending Saturday mornings with my father. His routine was to go into the office for a couple of hours and to catch up on the work that overflowed from that week. And many times I had to do something in the break room while he was working in the other room. But it imprinted me that my father was going to get the job done. And so you have to give them not only work opportunities, but also to show them how to work and to enjoy being a worker. Now, another key lesson that we must teach our children, especially if you're in that 68% of the people in the CNN Money Survey who want your children to be less materialistic, you can't teach being less materialistic simply by saying, "Don't be less materialistic." You have to teach a child to be generous. You know, the scripture says that there'll be terrible days when our entire culture become lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, and lovers of money. And if you look at the indulgent lifestyle of some of the children that we're raising in Christian homes, you would think that that's the desired outcome, that children have every one of their needs met, no matter what it may cost the parents. But a child must be taught that the family gives to others and that the children are expected to do the same. In fact, I'll go so far as to say this. If a child doesn't learn to be generous, they're probably going to lock in their future unhappiness. Because generosity and personal joy and satisfaction come from learning to be generous. The Lord said it's actually better to give than to receive. In other words, you're more blessed, you're highly advantaged if you learn to give than to receive. And we must teach our children how to be generous. Well, we're going to talk about this and some more principles when we come back. I'm Chuck Bentley. You're listening to Money Life.
it feels like talking to your young child about money just isn't enough, there's a fun, easy, and visual way you can show them how to honor God with their money. The ABC Learning Bank from Crown Financial Ministries. This popular tool goes beyond the traditional piggy bank. Created with three colorful compartments in the shape of letters, the ABC Learning Bank will give your child a fun, hands-on learning experience as they discover that A is for giving, B is for saving, and C is for spending. Imagine them applying that learning for a lifetime. The ABC Learning Bank is recommended for children ages 3 and older. To order an ABC Learning Bank for a child in your life, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. Again, the ABC Learning Bank is available by calling 1-800-722-1976 or visiting crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about lessons to teach our children about money. And one of the key lessons is for children to learn to be excellent at whatever they're called to do. Philippians 4:8 teaches us, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What Paul was teaching us is that we should learn excellence. As believers, we should never settle for mediocrity. And it's so important for a child to discover what skills, gifts, and talents that they have and learn to be great at it. There's nothing you could do that would give your child a greater advantage in life than to help them discover what they can excel at, what they can be outstanding at, help them to understand their gifts and talents. And then as they're growing, show them models of excellence, people in the fields where your child has an interest, who are not only successful and excellent with what they do, but they're great examples of godly character and godly wisdom, people walking with Christ. Read them biographies. Tell them stories. Brag about those who are doing it right. Let them know that those people are impressive to you. Find them mentors, people who will take them under their wing and to teach them how to be excellent at a skill or a job or something in a career field where they're interested for their future. That will pay huge dividends for the rest of their life. And then finally, teach your children to be ambassadors for Christ in the workplace. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." In the future, our children are going to have huge opportunities to be salt and light in this culture where they are placed in the job. You know, as you think about Joseph, he was prepared as a young man to be salt and light in the workplace in a hostile environment. And so was Daniel. They were raised in such a way that when they were severely tested by the culture, their values held together, their faith and confidence in God held together, and their skills and their commitment to excellence were the things that God used to have a huge influence inside a very difficult and hostile environment. And that's where I think you and I have a responsibility to teach children how to do that, to stand firm in their faith, so they're not only earning a living, they're not only making and managing money, but they're fulfilling God's purposes wherever He may put them. Well, you and I are privileged to have these children for the short time that we do. And I hope today has been a great encouragement to you. You've been listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow.